Hi. Welcome to an episode of Ray's Music Reviews. We're still doing the favorites thing. We are probably going to be doing this for the rest of the month, if not a couple days after this month ends. This is basically, we tell you what our favorite albums are, whether it's hip-hop, rock, any type of thing.
No limits for genre.
No. Soldiers. No Limits Soldiers. Master P.
Yes.
Anyway. Let me hear you say,
Cody gets it.
Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead.
Anyways, we're going into my favorites. A Tribe Called Quest, Low End Theory.
Yes.
Very critically acclaimed.
1991 album.
91.
Their sophomore album.
This is probably my most played hip-hop album. Period.
It's a good choice.
It's on the higher end.
Dude, I mean, it's you just groove with it.
It's
no matter what you're doing. I was playing like video games listening to this, and I was still just like bopping my head the whole time. I was like, yes. Yes.
Like it's so good. I just love the pure amount of, sometimes the production can be otherworldly in a sense, like Check the Rhyme and We've Got the Jazz. Sometimes just the pure landscape of the trombone sections and that stuff, it feels free and spacious.
Yes. Yes, dude, the sampling on this album, off the chain. Dude, again, it's jazz rap.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect. I love jazz. I love rap.
And you like
when
jazz?
You merge them together, I like jazz. I quite like jazz, actually. So this was phenomenal.
This was
Q-Tip's ability to go through tons of different jazz records and be able to pull beats and sounds and instruments and put them all together is
all this
really
took,
something.
All it took to make this album was one trip to the record store. All it took, dude.
Yeah,
just sort of.
And they were talking about, we watched a little bit of a documentary about it, where they were like loading up too many samples to have in their machine, so they were just like visualizing the other samples in the songs, and they were able to like form it together like that, which I thought was wild.
Right. Dude. That's where
Q-Tip, it's absolutely masterful.
That's where Ali talks about.
That's where I'd argue that this album's a bit of a masterpiece.
Yes.
It's just that
beat production, perfect.
When Ali talks about how Tip will imagine something, and it's just my job to kind of make it happen, it's really amazing. Now that there's two documentaries about Tribe Called Quest in general. One is a documentary on Netflix that encapsulates the story of hip hop altogether, and there is a segment that is about
Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul, all those guys, Native Tongue, they like
Queen
to call
Latifah,
it. Yeah, all those people, Native right. Tongue, they called it. It has multiple names.
Mm-hmm.
But
they have another episode that's on the South. There's an episode that's on the Houston. There's an episode, a West Coast rap, all that. And then there's another one that Michael Rapaport did that was about them late in their careers that is really good as well.
And this is just, A Tribe Called Quest is just generally one of my favorite music groups. And I think this is their magnum opus. I was blown away the first time I heard this album. I do like it a little better than the other Tribe Called Quest albums, but that's only because, like, this album feels more free and less, it's spacious. It's jazz.
It's jazz, very, baby.
It's,
well, when,
like, you listen to Can I Kick It, it's not as jazzy as,
well, when that's another segment where Ali talks about how Q-Tip explained jazz to him, as in these musicians were unable to express themselves at all, and so the only way of expression they had was through their the moments they were able to play, and how you have a moment where you're playing a note and then you let that note breathe to make the next note important. And you're talking about how he manages to do this in a hip hop setting.
Yeah, it's almost, in a weird way, the production here kind of reminds me of Radiohead's Kid A, if you've ever heard of it. How spacious, just the way it uses space and the way that the landscape is massive.
Absolutely.
And I love this thing.
Oh, it's dope.
I'm not going to go as far to say it's the greatest hip-hop album, but it is my most played.
I think it might be up there for, at the very least, most influential. Like, you see a lot of people trying to emulate this style later on and not doing it quite as well, but still pretty good.
Dude, it's just... Let's move on to the questions.
Can I say something first?
Yes.
Absolutely.
This is not my favorite Tribe Called Quest album.
Which one is? Just curious.
I like Midnight Marauders the best. This is actually my third favorite Tribe Called Quest album.
The problem I have with Midnight Marauders is that stupid voice.
I'm not. I believe I like Midnight Marauders the best because I played it a ton when I was in college. So it reminds me of getting ready to go to stuff.
Yeah.
I like the first one more than this one. And it's funny because when you picked this one, I thought to myself, well, shucks, he picked that one. But I like this record. And then when I'm riding around listening to it, I was like, oh my God, this record is so great. And how did I ever get to the point where I only listened to four tracks on this and not just let it take me on the journey it's supposed to? You know, why did I screw this up this much to not listen to this record more is what happened. It was wonderful that you picked this record for us to listen to.
I do want to say it's an album that you should listen to while driving around. That is like the optimal
listen hip hop album.
Yes, and do it in the car, dude, because you're just driving around, just vibing.
Right.
You're just letting it take you there.
Right, and you feel like you are cool.
Yes,
you
are literally. I do feel so cool.
Surrounded by cool, it's all over you when you're driving around.
The flows.
You can't help it. Yeah, right. Okay, how do we feel about the opener?
Excursions, right?
Yes.
Oh,
I love the bit at the very beginning where he's talking to his dad, and he says, "Hip hop." His dad says that hip hop reminds him of bebop. And he's talking about things going in cycles.
And he mentions Bobby Brown and Michael.
Dude, yes. And yes, it's true. Things do go in cycles.
Well, I think, too, that is the perfect... What you're talking about, how the Jazz Fusion Excursions is the perfect opener because it whets the palate for what is to come.
I could literally name you the first lyric and...
And how what we do is an evolution. Go.
Dude, that back in the days when I was a teenager...
Before I had status and before I had a pager.
Yeah, that's just such a memorable opening. And the opening beat is so... Like, you know what you're getting into.
Dude, I mean, it literally, like, the first couple notes instantly set the stage for the whole album.
His voice is so spot on. And I think they said he had a cold when they were recording this. And he went to him and was like, I need to re-record it. And they were like, no, you absolutely do not. The you're nasally anyway. And this takes it to a whole nother level of nasal. Dude, funny note, this has nothing to do with... On one of those docs, one of the outtakes, they're talking to the Beastie Boys, and they're talking about the native tongues, and MCA says, well, we were thinking about doing a little thing called the nasal tongues, and it would be Tip and MCA here, and then he was like, in Be Real from Cypress Hill, and they were like, but they all had that very strong nasal tone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of like the you'll find it in every person who's like big in hip hop. They do have a unique way of rapping and way of speaking. Some people are more nasally, some people are really deep, such as, you know,
one of
Busta Rhymes.
One of the more unique guys is coming later, right?
Absolutely.
And the introduction of in song 2. Okay. Before we get to the closer, can we talk a little bit about
just the whole album?
The intro to Fife.
Fife, dude.
Because this is the album where Fife gets to step to the front. And they've been trying to get him to do this on the first record. And this, and you know, song 1 is Tip. Song 2, we start to get to see who Fife Dawg is with Buggin' Out.
Dude, Buggin' Out's one of my favorite songs on this album.
Right?
It is such such a strong open like opening verse.
It the next three are kind of showcases for him, and then we get into
then you get into Butter. Oh, and then it's
again, that's a showcase verse. For Fife, right? And then we get to verses from The Abstract, which is a showcase for, well, I don't even think you need a showcase for Q-Tip. He's so,
no, he pretty much every single time he raps on this album, it's incredible.
But the thing is, it's like he sets the table so much on this record for Fife to hit the home run, right? And then at the, and then we go to here where we say, how did you feel about the closer? Scenario. And this one, I don't think it's even a question, right? It's one of the all-time great songs.
Can I just say this?
Yeah.
The okay, before, I love Scenario so much. Before I get into Scenario, I'm going to say the transition from What into Scenario is incredible because it jarred me.
Right.
The first time. It genuinely scared me.
Right.
The first time I heard it. And it's like, it's the perfect way to segue into that. Because correct. Scenario is so in your face and so you're focusing on us.
And you had the other leaders of the New School.
And Scenario also, it also kind of feels like the last shout of the native tongues, like the last cry of a generation.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. It's so, because at the end it shows Busta, right? And it's like, okay, we're done now. We're giving you Busta.
Right.
And we're going to show you what's next.
And Q-Tip talks about how the back then you would have a lot of, this album is going to end with my posse. And so they have everybody there. And as you said, in a way, like I talk about how Q-Tip hands things over, you have a upbeat, in-your-face thing. And then Q-Tip kind of, with his smoothness, sets the table for, you've been up here, I'm pulling you back down just long enough to hand this to something you ain't never heard before. And Busta is a force of nature. He's something that we had never heard before. The rapidness.
Dude, what was it like hearing Busta for the first time?
I'm telling you, there are moments in time where you think things are different. When I was a kid and I heard Eddie Van Halen, I thought, okay, this will be different. And the moment you heard Busta Rhymes rapping, you knew everything you knew had just changed. There was a new genre, and that genre would be associated with that voice. People are going to try to sound like that. People are going to try to be quick with their lip like that. And people imitated it. Very few people, nobody's been able to duplicate it. And very few people who go in the studio and try to imitate that can get on a stage and do it for real. And Busta can do that as well. He is amazing. And for them to be able to give you that as their going away present, come on.
Dude, it's the perfect way to end it. That's an exclamation point.
Right. I don't know that there is a record that once you get to, let's see. Once you get to Check the Rhyme, I don't know that a record ends stronger than that. From Check the Rhyme to Everything's So Fair, and I don't have a problem with the other one. Jazz, We've Got, Sky Pager, What, Scenario. I don't know that an album ends that good besides this one. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, that's really high level.
Real good.
Yeah, right?
Dude, I don't.
It's bonkers how right. good it is.
What would end better than this? Something in the Way?
I don't know. It's just really fantastic the way they do it.
It's so, you have to think hard to think of albums that have ended better than that.
Right.
That have gone on that just tirade.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah. Now, how did we feel about the production?
Oh, just
amazing.
Right.
Revolutionary.
It's what Jared said about Welcome to the Jungle. You want me to go to Giza and review the pyramids?
Right,
you know,
right.
It's a monument right. to what music can be.
And you have, I think, what's that guy's name? Something Rock, right? Is the one producer that was actually in the studio. And then you also had Q-Tip and Ali, who are both producers as well. So you wind up with three people who were able to, and I think they said basically Rock's job was to pull out the static while increasing the bass so that it could, like they said, the new advent of stereos allowed, you had to have something that would stand up to the new 808s in the cars, right? But it's perfect, right?
Oh, dude, yes.
Favorite track?
Oh, man, it's so hard for me to choose a favorite, but I might personally go with Jazz, We've Got, or
Check the Rhyme
versus from The Abstract.
Check the Rhyme, right. Jazz, Scenario, Excursion, Verses from the Abstract, Vibes and Stuff. I'm just going to name off the whole album.
Yeah, I was about to say you are rapidly approaching at the very least half of the album.
I would go with Check the Rhyme. I mean, Scenario is one of my all-time whatever, so Scenario is, but I don't feel like it's fair to just say that. I would go with Check the Rhyme and Jazz We Got right under that, and I don't... Well, here we go. We'll just do this. Least favorite.
The only song that I felt was maybe weak was the infamous Date Rape, because mostly it felt like they didn't really have a whole lot to say on it. They say something to the effect of, like, date rape happens a lot, and then they just make a bunch of, like, semi-related jokes for the rest of the song. It was weird. You know what I mean?
I get you. Yeah.
It's hard to, like, I do like the beat from Infamous Date Rape.
Oh, again, like, everything's off the chain. But the lyrics are just...
They address it, and they don't think it's cool, but they don't go all in either.
Yeah, then they go in, like, a different direction where they're just talking about, like, a different scenario that's not...
They might have just wanted an excuse to use the beat.
I mean, yeah, but, like...
I think they wanted to say it, but they didn't know how.
They couldn't make, like, a whole song about it.
How to come off without... I don't know what it was, but there was a disconnect there somewhere. Right, I get it. Now, you want to go to ratings? So, how do you rate this record out of 10?
Like an 8.5 or 9, I think.
Because of Date Rape?
Yes. But also... No, mostly because of that.
Okay, Ray?
Strong 9 to a 10. You?
I give it a strong 9.
Yeah.
Strong 9. Yeah, it's amazing, game-changing, epic, all those things, and more. Sets the table for the future, hands you over to, defines one generation while handing you another Busta, which is going to wind up being another generation's guy, you know what I mean? So it's everything it should be. Everything you wish things should be.
Okay. True.
Where do we go from here?
We are going to announce our next episode. Our next episode is going to be KP's favorites, U2's The Joshua Tree.
Ah.
That you chose that. Don't act surprised. Now we are going to go into just stuff we listened to this week.
Yeah, I actually have a pretty exciting one. So I found this new album that I can only really describe as apocalyptic jazz. It is Eons by Neptunian Maximalism. It came out in like June or July of this year. And a song popped up in my Discover Weekly from Spotify. It is phenomenal. It is music as an art form. It is this incredible, spacious album that sounds like the world is ending. It sounds like you are taking part and like taking witness to a world-ending ritual. The drums are heavy. There's drones just constantly everywhere. The jazz, dude, it's like it's a mixture of free jazz, like drone metal. And it literally, like, it gives me anxiety to listen to.
Wow.
It's crazy. Again, like, music, that's why I say it's, like, music as an art form. It's right. Music that makes me physically uncomfortable to listen to, but it's so enamoring and so encapsulating, and just you just get caught up in it where you're just not even realizing. You're just like, oh, my God.
Right.
I literally see, like, I feel like I'm just seeing the world collapse in on itself.
Right.
It's crazy. It's so spacious. It's like 2 hours long, too. I've only been able to get through like 45 minutes of it. It's woof.
Right.
So good.
Right. Ray?
I am going to pick another one from 2020. Brave Faces Everyone by the band Spanish Love Song. It's folk punk bangers with very heart-wrenching lyrics.
Folk punk bangers, dude.
It's really good.
KP, you listen to anything new?
I've been listening to pretty much Radiohead whenever I'm not listening to the album of the week. Yes. Just this week in particular. But I did wind up, let's see, what else did I wind up? I wound up leaving my Spotify on after the album ended, and it hit me with MF Doom.
Yeah, MF Doom.
After that, and then it took me through a couple of songs from De La Soul and stuff, because it just takes you further into that rabbit hole. You know what I mean?
I did go on a bit of a White Stripes thing this week.
Nothing wrong with that.
As well as Jack White's solo work.
That solo album for Jack White's really underrated.
Boarding House Reach? Oh, dude, that album's awesome.
He doesn't do bad.
Really. No.
Really, he doesn't. No, the White Stripes stuff's good. His solo stuff's good. That thing he does with, what do they call him?
Raccooneers?
The Raconteurs. Raconteurs, yeah. That's really, really good, too.
Yeah.
I believe he made a short-lived band with Jack Black called Jack Gray.
That should probably be interesting.
Not a thing. I did listen to, speaking of Radiohead, Atoms for Peace is a band consisting of Tom York and Red Hot Chili Peppers bassist Flea. It is...
The infamous Flea.
Infamous.
Is he infamous?
I mean,
I know about him. He's probably... I don't know many other bassists.
He's famous.
The list of bassists
infamous
I know
and
is
famous.
Like, I mean, yeah.
Infamous. I'm sure he's infamous, though.
Infamous sounds way cooler.
It does. Absolutely.
It really does. Anyone can be famous. To be infamous, you have to be, like, cool.
Or there has to be an edge to you.
Yeah, like Charles Manson is infamous. Oh, okay, that's not a great example.
There could be better examples.
Yeah, most rock stars, I would argue, are to some degree infamous.
All of the Rolling Stones.
Yes.
Well, not really. Charlie Watts isn't, but okay.
Yeah. Axl Rose.
Infamous.
Infamous.
Slash infamous.
Infamous. Yes.
Yes. All of them are infamous.
100%.
Including the people who joined.
Chris Jericho.
After that.
Chris Jericho.
Is not supposed to be on a music podcast.
He makes music. I mean.
Again.
It sounds like.
Actually, Chris Jericho has a tremendous knowledge base. Have you ever listened to his podcast? Tremendous knowledge base of all things music in his band. He does things where they break down albums verses, similar to what we do, but they get more specific in that you have to pick albums from the same year with the same amount of songs, and they go against each other like that, and they go track for track against each other.
Oh, dude.
It's pretty good. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And dude, his band, really talented musician.
Yes.
Really, a bunch of really talented musicians, and Jericho's there too.
Well, it just tells you how hard it is to make it, right?
Oh, yeah.
All those guys are really talented, and they can't make it until they're in cover band called Fozzie Bear or something, and that turns where they're doing, you know what I mean? And then that turns into something, a thing, because Chris is ambitious.
Have you seen the live concerts where he's lip syncing?
I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah,
I don't do a whole lot of watching Chris sing live. I've watched it like twice. And
yeah, I watched it because I was kind of intrigued to see how he sounded live, and
just like the studio.
Just like the studio live.
Just like the studio.
Those are backtracking vocals. go ahead.
Against Me's new wave. It's pop and punk, but not pop punk. It's punk with good production.
Nice.
So not like pop punk at all.
Not. It's pop. Pop punk is like, he's not. She. The vocalist, she isn't nasally.
It can't be pop punk.
So it's not like.
You're not sitting there whining with a nasally voice. It's not pop punk.
That's right. That's right.
It's political 2000s music, legitimately kind of political 2000s music.
You don't quite see that as much, even with stuff like Green Day. It was somewhat not as hard as it could have been.
There were the first couple tracks on American Idiot, and then maybe Give Me Novocaine with the political songs.
But that wasn't like the feature of the album. Absolutely.
It was more of like a punk rock opera
that was tangentially about politics.
That was it's strange.
I've listened to quite a lot of Green Day.
So are we moving on to...
We were forced to listen to Green Day.
The next episode?
Yeah. We will definitely move on to the next episode.
The next episode.
I love it.
Yes.
Next episode.
I'm pretty sure I've made that joke already. I make that joke every time
every
someone
time.
Says
every the time. Next episode. The next episode will be Joshua Tree.
Joshua Tree by U2.
So is that a wrap?
That is a wrap.
Nice. This is you want to take album. Us out?
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, no. We're going to stay here.
Copyright 2020. In thanks for listening.
Heat
a Go Home Heat production.
Content.
Go home.
Go home. Bye. See you next time.